The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Cam and the Pats sneak one. They by the skin of their teeth against the Jets. I mean, remember how little Brady had to work with, and people were talking about, but he had a defense. He had a great defense last couple of years. Won a Super Bowl behind a great defense. He had a great defense last year. No, and then Chung and Hightower aren't going to play because of COVID to start the season. Now, no Gilmore. That whole D, they lost like nine guys off the defense. And as little as they had on offense last year, Edelman's a year older. He's banged up. N'Keal Harry, isn't that a bust considering who came after him and how he's been playing? He's not even available. Even the guys who aren't that good aren't available. Gronk's long gone, right? His security blanket, Cam, is Jacoby Myers. That's his best guy. That's the guy he's most confident in. All right. No defense, no offense. All they have is a quarterback. And if he doesn't get it done, they don't get it done. But you know what? Cam faltered down the stretch a bit. But in the moment of truth, he hooked up with Jacoby Myers for the first down that put him in field goal position. That Nick Folk hit to win the game. Yeah, I know it's against the Jets. It doesn't much matter, right? It's an interesting game going in. It's like if the Patriots lose this game, do they try to just wind up with two wins and grab maybe Justin Fields if they could? Or if they win it, are they still in contention? Let's not forget, they start the season by beating what turns out to be a very good Miami team. They then lose a squeaker against Seattle. They beat the Raiders, and Cam didn't even play well against the Raiders. So, and by the way, they lost to the Chiefs without Cam. He had COVID. But it was a competitive game, and calls went against the Pats. Then they lost to the Bills on a fumble by Cam. Cam had the ball stripped. Otherwise, they beat the Bills. Two plays away from being 5-3 with wins against the Dolphins, Raiders, Bills, and Seahawks. But instead, they're 3-5. But here's the thing. He didn't punch it in against Seattle. Wagner stopped him. And the Seattle line. He didn't score against Buffalo. He did get stripped. The difference between Cam and Brady. Brady comes through in those moments most often. And Cam has not. But he's remained accountable the entire time. And yesterday, in the moment of truth, he did come through. That's actually big. Of 35, 274 yards, two rushing touchdowns. By the way, Cam is third in rush TDs this year, behind Dalvin Cook and Todd Gurley, behind two backs. Cam has never had an offense to work with. Do you realize this? He's never had an offense. His best receiver was his tight end, Olsen, and he was his own best running back. And that's still true.
Who's the best? Kelvin Benjamin.
Oh, stop it. Who's the best? Who's the best? He was supposed to be really good. Remember that? They have a lot of tall receivers. They can't run routes. They're not fast, but they're tall. Who's the best receiver he's ever had, Raj? In his entire career, where he's won an MVP and taken a team to a Super Bowl.
Kelvin was supposed Greg to be Olsen. The best.
It's Greg Olsen, clearly. His tight end is by far the best receiver he's ever had. And the best running back is himself. He is the best ball carrier out of the backfield. His Cam Newton. I mean, but he's 3-5 right now with wins. And he had COVID and the team couldn't practice. He's on a team with no talent on the offense, no talent on the defense. They couldn't practice for a long time and he had COVID and he's 3-5 and he's two plays away from being 5-3. That's real. It's true. 888-SAY-ESPN. Kevin in Fresno, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yeah, Max, how you doing, man? Big time fan, first time caller, my friend. Mm.
Thank you.
Hey, wanted to talk to you real quick about the San Francisco 49ers. Mm-hmm. You know, with all their injuries, obviously, it's absolutely unprecedented. But mm-hmm. with their offense possibly coming back here in the next few weeks with Ayuk, Debo, we mm-hmm. get Trent back off the COVID-19 list, possibly Kittle by week 14 with Jimmy. Do you think we have a chance? I think we do, to sneak into that number 8 spot the NFL is talking about for the playoffs.
You can't rule it out, but the Niners are in the toughest division in football. And Garoppolo has not shown the ability to stay healthy. He's shown the ability to win a lot when he's on the field. I consistently defend him. I'm like, oh, if he's not that much better than a replacement guy, why do the Niners, in spite of a good defense, why are they unable to win a single game, basically, when they have these replacement quarterbacks, Mullins, whoever it is? But when Garoppolo plays, they win almost every game. Why is that? So I defend Garoppolo and his ability to lead a team to wins. Gets rid of the, you know, reads defenses quickly, gets rid of the ball quickly. But he's not healthy. You can't rely on that. And then when you look at the way Arizona's come up in the world, and yes, they just lost to Miami. Miami's also come up in the world. But the way Arizona has come up, when you look at the division with LA and Seattle, it's just rough sledding. That's rough sledding for the Niners. If you, is it possible they could make the playoffs? Yes, it is. There's enough runway still. But if you ask me, do I think the Niners are making the playoffs, the answer is no. I can't see the calls. I can't see the words, Raj, because you're doing something that's making them blurry. It's like an eye test. First of all,
DraftKings. The DraftKings lineups are due.
Everything on Zoom is like shrunk down, right? So I'm on a Zoom thing with Raj. It's on my computer so we can see each other during COVID here. And then he can do something to the screen where it gets blurry and then it comes into focus. Like the doctor at the, with, you know, the optometrist is flicking that thing and say, better or worse? Now, is it better or worse? But Raj is the doctor where it just keeps getting worse. Worse, more blurry, more blurry, more blurry. Make it work.
Oh, you know, the DraftKings lineups. You won this week. Congratulations.
I
got second and another. So I just got the notification. So now I'm making my new lineup, and you're doing this little show, and you're talking about all these sports. And
bury
stuff,
the lead.
I'm trying
Wait
to make
a minute.
My lineup.
Wait what? A minute. Let's not bury
all
the
right.
lead.
Get the yay ready. Get the yay ready.
I not only won DraftKings.
Uh-huh.
I stomped you clowns in DraftKings. That was a critical beatdown. 30 was points. Was the, you were you in second place?
I believe so. I may have dropped a third this week, but not my best week.
I was like 30 points ahead of second place.
Yeah, no, it's a good job, man.
You know how you know you're getting. You know how you know you're getting to be a real degenerate this way is when see Raj sends out this thing like everyone in our league has to get their teams in, but you put in a little dummy team under the cap, and then you're going to fix it later, right? Like, let me just quickly get this in, and I'll do a little research and figure it all out later. My dummy teams are now 75% the team that I actually wind up keeping. That's a degenerate for you. That's a degenerate sports fan. If you can quickly look at the DraftKings lineup and see how they're priced to be like, oh, he's playing this defense. It's going to be good. And within, I don't know, 120 seconds, come up with a team and 75% of the players after you do the research you're going to keep, you have a problem. I mean, here's the great thing about working at ESPN, though. And people like, remember those SportsCenter commercials? That you know, like you see the culture at ESPN, it's all about sports, and it's like a fantasy, right? Like, oh my God, people go to work and all they do is think about sports. It really is like that. Like, I remember Brian Kenny and I way back in the day, going back to maybe the late 90s, doing some fantasy baseball stuff like whatifsports.com, whatever it was, and one of the bosses walks by and he sees us playing fantasy sports, and maybe we were working on a boxing show at the time, I don't remember. But I forgot, I mean, we were together, but I don't remember if that's why we were together. And they, like, pats us on the back, attaboy, you know? Could you imagine working at a job where when your boss catches you fixing your fantasy lineup, you get a pat on the back? And they pay us for this? So, like, just now when I'm like, I'm a degenerate, I have a problem, that actually helps me? Like, that means I'm doing my job? I must have been such a great person in a previous life, Raj. I must have saved helpless animals and things. I'm being rewarded. Reggie in San Antonio, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yeah, I feel like you disrespected Steve Smith, his Hall of Fame
why?
Pro Bowl receiver he had with him when he came into the league.
Yep. I know why. You're right. You're right. Steve Smith is the best receiver that Cam has had, but he had him briefly. But that's true. He was on Carolina. Yeah, that's true. But come on, he like by the time Steve, by the time Cam was there, you know, how many years did they play together, Raj?
I don't know, but I know Steve Smith was about 42 years old while they played together.
Yeah, but Steve Smith was always a guy you wanted on your team.
No, but it was nice to have Steve, a big guy, fiery guy, and you did have to account for him. So, yeah, we forgot about poor Steve Smith. Shout out to
big,
you, Steve.
Did you say big guy?
No, strong guy.
Strong guy.
He's
yeah.
muscles. Yeah, little,
yeah. Oh,
little
yeah, for
mighty
sure.
Mighty Mouse, like a little mighty, little yeah. fast Mighty Mouse.
Raj just totally switched it around from big guy to strong guy.
Oh, you must they rhyme. You must have misheard me, player.
Oh, they rhyme. Like, yep. Like Axe Max. Jim in Seattle, you're on the Max Kellerman Show. Go.
Hey, Max, I just want to tell you that I'm a huge fan of all your work, and we appreciate everything that you've done for sports and all your analysis.
Can I say one thing show? Before you continue? Don't drop this guy off the line, Raj. That's right. Really consider what he just said. Everything I've done for sports, Raj. I've done so much. I don't know what I've done, but I like talking about sports. And they pay me for it, so that's good. Go ahead. Keep going.
Well, just on the analysis on everything yes. that you've yes. done and all your expert analysis on everything, yes. it's great. I appreciate great. All your work.
Boy, it's great. You're right about that.
I was just watching. I have to get this off my chest because it's mm-hmm. been bugging me. The NFL, just from a business perspective, it's a billion-dollar business. It's there's a lot of money involved in betting and owning and everything in the NFL. And it's mind-blowing to me watching the games, and there's so much riding on the line on a first down. Like, it could end the game for you if you don't get that first down and you're in the fourth quarter down by three. I was watching the Arizona game versus Miami, and they had fourth and inches calls, like on three or four drives, and they got three of them, and they missed one, the crucial one at the end. That yeah. it was down by three. This ended their drive. And we're going by these referees' sight of the ball.
I always thought that was nuts. And also, like, you can't cheat a few inches in the trenches. Of course you can.
Exactly. Yeah. And then we just saw Kyler Murray kill himself on a play to try to get a first down, and you're saying he's short by inches? Is this for sure? No,
yeah,
it's not
but what do you do? You got to put a sensor in the ball and magnetize the field or something so you know where the hell it is, a GPS tracker or something. I don't know what you do, but there's always going to be you could cheat inches. You're right.
But, Max,
yeah,
we're a billion-dollar company. There's so much technology. I think I can create a magnetic sensor. Once it crosses the first down pole, it's going to light up. Like the NBA lights up, the backboard lights up. Why can't we have it in the NFL?
You're Jim, right? Are you Jim?
We're putting too much of the game.
Are you Jim in Seattle?
On the referees. Yes, Jim in Seattle.
Jim in Seattle? Go do it. That's a great idea. What are you talking to me for? Giving it away for free. Do you know anything about engineering? Go make it.
Yes. Yes. I'm going to bring it into the NFL.
You should.
We did that the game should not be in the referee's hand. We should try to take it out as much as we can. And with the play calling, with the penalties that's being called, there already so much is in the referee's hand.
Wait, Jim, you're going past you're going past the point already. I'm with you on this. If you know, this is America. See, like, you can actually do this. You can come up with an idea. It actually, just anyone can do it. It's like, actually, that's a good idea. Now it's the elbow grease, right? 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. Yeah, go make it. Go make a prototype where it crosses the first down and automatically we know. I like it, Raj.
All right, awesome. So
there it is.
What I need is.
Yeah. What? Oh, you need something now? What do you need?
Yeah. I need the NFL to fund me for all my technology, all my research.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to fund you ahead of time, but I think if you come up with something, you know, who knows?
Well, I think he did come up with something, Max. Yes. You say all the time how rich you are and all these type of things, how handsome, and you talk sports for a living.
I don't talk too much about being rich, but I talk about being handsome.
Well, I think he called the right spot. You should fund him.
No. Are you suggesting we should steal his idea, Raj?
No.
Why would we fund him? He just gave away the idea. Max Kellerman Show, any engineers out there who would know how to pull this off? Raj is offering funding. Raj is going to fund him. He's a highly paid producer here at ESPN, and apparently he wants to fund research. Could you imagine that? And then you know what the NFL would do, Raj? You think they would buy the thing? No, they'd be like, oh, we could do this. And they'd just do it themselves. Bruce Arians throwing Brady under the bus again? I don't know. It seemed to work the first time after the first Saints game. Remember that? Threw him under the bus. Started playing better. And then against the Bears, he covered for Brady. Brady forgot how many downs. Covered for Brady. And when he covered for Brady, they that also worked. I'm not saying it's direct cause and effect. He throws Brady under the bus, therefore they play better. But it was part of a formula whereby the Bucs improved. He threw him under the bus. He knew when to throw him under the bus, it seemed. And then he knew when to have his back. Now he's throwing him under the bus again. Or is it just that the Saints beat the brakes off the Bucs and then Arians tells the truth? Kevin in Oklahoma, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, first of all, love you, love your show.
Yes.
I love how you go back and forth with Stephen A. on First Take, and I love what you're doing. Mm-hmm. But what I wanted to talk to you about was, do you think the Jets got robbed on that touchdown catch that Breshad Perriman caught? And that's, if so, that probably made the difference in the game.
Wait, go over. Just go ahead. Say that again. Wait, how did they get robbed?
On that touchdown catch that they called back. On
the toe drag?
That Breshad Perriman caught.
No, that was Crowder, the toe drag.
Yeah, the toe drag.
Raj, I swear to God, I'm blanking. I don't know what play he's talking about. Do you know what play he's talking about offhand?
I know there was a close one that was upheld, and they got the touchdown, but that was the only toe drag I saw. But, yeah.
I don't remember. He's watching these Jets games way too closely, like way too closely. This wasn't the Saints and the Bucks, dude. This was the Jets and the Patriots. I don't know. Chris, do you know what he's talking about offhand?
It's not Chris today. It's Jake.
Oh, Jake. Okay. Now you're switching up names on me, huh, Chris? Or Jake, whatever you want to
call. Is Chris just generic board operator?
Jake, do you know what play he's talking about?
He referenced the toe drag many times, which makes me believe that he was talking about the Crowder touchdown. But then again, they didn't get robbed on that. They actually got the touchdown.
Right.
After
they got
the
and they deserved it.
Totally. That was a catch and a touchdown.
Totally. You see what he did? Totally. Raj, the toe drag, totally.
Mm.
He didn't need to do that. Now I got to sort out my Jakes and Chris's now, huh?
It would be
enough. I have a producer with a fake name, Raj Grobes. What's your government name?
Oh, I can't share that with you.
Cam Newton was breaking moves. Cam Newton was 27 for 35 with 274 yards, two rushing touchdowns. That's 8 rushing touchdowns, tied for third most in the NFL this season.
Breaking Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
Cowboys could be bad enough. It could be. They could win the NFC East. But they could also be bad enough to draft Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields. Imagine that. You could either host a playoff game, or draft first. They are top three. That's the NFC East. I am rooting for the fewest number of wins possible. I want to see a 5-win team host a playoff game. Why not? Like, if it's going to be a 7-win team, like, well, who cares if a 7-win team hosts a playoff? But a 5-win team, that's interesting. And mess around the way football is, they probably win the game, right? Some sad sack NFC East team hosts a really good team, but they catch fire that day. They're at home and they win in advance. And then we got a 5-win team in the next round.
Max, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Jerry Jones said, it's crazy to think the Cowboys would use a high draft pick to select a quarterback because Dak is their future. Well, Dak is supposed to be their present. it's not that they decided not to pay him. They offered him a big contract. He turned it down. But they waited till the 11th hour to offer him a contract. You know, like, Dak, look, I wouldn't have given Goff or Wentz the contracts they got. I think they're overpaid. And not, listen, they're actually worth more money than they get. But considering there's a salary cap in the NFL, you must always rob Peter to pay Paul. And when you pay Goff or Wentz the way they paid them, they have to be able to make up for other areas of the team that are deficient. Wentz has shown unequal to the task, and so is Goff. Goff's the kind of guy who can quarterback your team if you put a lot around him. Okay. Wentz needs some help. Dak is in that category. He went 8-8 last year. With a team that looked good on paper, they couldn't even win like the worst division ever. He went 10-6 and 9-7 before that. But that's not exactly a juggernaut. It's an above-average team. Not way above average, a little above-average team. And in fact, Jerry and Stephen Jones have averaged about 8.5 wins for 10 seasons. That's good. You know, considering they bought the team, and so they get to install themselves as general manager, it's not meritocratic that way. It's really impressive, actually, 8.5 wins a season over a 10-year span. That's an accomplishment. They ain't elite at it, though. And if the Cowboys could draft the guy and have him on his rookie deal, would I do that if I were the Cowboys? See, to say, no, Dak is our quarterback, and you're going to pay him a max-type contract or whatever that is, over $100 million, coming off an injury. Yeah, he's really good, Dak. He's not great yet. And you could see how much he made up for deficiencies on the Cowboys by keeping just kind of keeping them afloat. But they went 8-8 last year, and they had a losing record when he got hurt this year. They look worse since then, but still. And to say that they wouldn't draft a quarterback, Jerry Jones is signaling to the fan base, we're not rebuilding. We're right there. You let your best corner go in the offseason. You let a good defensive lineman go in the offseason. You didn't replenish on the defensive side of the ball. You took C.D. Lamb instead because he was the most talented player in your belief at the time you selected. I get that. Still, you need a little help on the defense, wouldn't you say? The offensive line that was so great for so many years. And by the way, there's a reason they were great for so many years. You know how the Giants, Gettleman with his quarterback, he needs to fix the offensive line. And Jerry Reese, same thing. Oh, we need to fix the offensive line. And the Giants invested real resources in it. They signed Nate Solder to a big deal. They spent usually second and third round picks, but occasionally a first round pick on an offensive lineman. Not like the Cowboys. The Cowboys, I want to say, if memory serves, 4 out of 5 seasons took their first round pick spent it on an offensive lineman. That's how you get a crazy offensive line. That's gone now. Just gone. And Jerry talking about, no, Dak's our good. So you want to pay a guy coming off a catastrophic injury over $100 million if you're in a position to get a guy who's going to wind up probably better than him on the cheap for the next 5 years? Robert in Dallas, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
What up, Max? Hey, I guess maybe I'm the only one that thinks this way, and I feel bad for Dak. You don't want to see anybody get hurt, but he's not the guy. His stats, they came up with all these BS stats. Oh, he threw the most yards on third down in the fourth quarter. All this crap during his negotiation. He's not a Hall of Famer, that's for sure.
Right, not yet.
He's not going to ever win the big one. Dump Dak, get some young kid out of college, groom him, keep Dak on the bench, pay him. He's a good guy, pay him, but he is not the guy. He's not the guy.
Well, if you pay him, you got to make him the guy, man. Like, Robert, you can't pay Dak what he's looking for and not make him the guy. He is the guy. And I agree, he's not a great quarterback, but he's a very good one, and he's still getting better. If he comes back from injury as he was, he's still ascending. He reminds me a lot, and this is good news if you're a Dak fan, I think. He reminds me a lot of two different quarterbacks with very different styles. The difference being they had great coaching. And great organizations. Tom Brady and Russell Wilson. If you remember, Tom Brady and Russell Wilson from the very beginning, they had something about them that felt like a winner, right? And they seemed to be good game managers who were big on third down, quarterbacking teams who won with their defense and running game. And, you know, they could get you in position to kick a field goal and you could win. And then over time, defenses age more quickly than quarterbacks, and the team realized these guys are getting better and better and better, And even though they won and they won Super Bowls, their kind of reputations as winners outstripped their actual performance on the field. But at a certain point, the team started rewarding the kind of ascension of their skills and said, no, we're going to build around you. And Russell Wilson and Tom Brady more than justified their team's faith in them. Tom Brady became the GOAT, the greatest who ever did it, and was putting up Peyton Manning numbers in the regular season at times. And Russell Wilson also has never been the best player in football in any given season, but over the last half decade, overall, has been the best player in football. Most valuable over the last half decade. Dak Prescott reminds me of those guys. Gave you a good feeling at first. Could kind of game manage and could do some things and was seemed to be like clutch. But actually got better and better and better. My biggest problem with Dak early on was he didn't turn the ball over, but a lot of times you saw a lot of bigger plays left on the field. You know, he would take the he'd get you a positive play, but it was minor compared to what he had left. It was maybe the third best thing he could have done. He didn't seem to see the whole field really well to me early, although he was a very young quarterback. He did seem to me to elevate his team. But his career, you hope. There's no guarantee just because you're an ascending young player who's good and maybe on his way to being great that you wind up Russell Wilson or Tom Brady. But the best version of what that could be would look something like that. You want to move on from that? If you do, it better be for a guy you are sure about. You better look at Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields and say, that dude. But if you're the Cowboys and your defense looks like what it does and you have no offensive line, and you're saying, no, we're going to go stay with Dak instead of getting a much cheaper option. And Dak's already turned down $100 million plus. I understand going in that, like doing that. I wouldn't say you dismiss out of hand the other idea.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speaker. If I don't do nothing, I'm a ball. Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 729-3776. Counting all day like the clock on the wall, Raj. Sign up for ESPN Plus for live daily coverage of the Masters. Plus, Michael Collins continues his journey across the country in his brand new sleigh. His sled. Sleigh? Santa crisscrosses the country. Kris Kringle's the country. Yo, Michael Collins got the kind of beard, like, he didn't grow it. Someone put a spell on him and the beard just grows magically. Like, if he shaved it off, it would just reappear immediately. Can we put a picture of Michael Collins up on the air so on ESPN Plus people could see it? Let's get a picture of that. Best golf, like, I wouldn't hear anyone talk golf before Michael Collins. Anyway, he's covering the Masters and interviewing golf's biggest stars only on ESPN+. You can also now stream our show, the Max Kellerman Show, daily, along with the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz, Greeny, Shanae Ngolick Jr. Sign up today to ESPNplus.com.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because yeah. I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's last take.
Friend of the show, Kendrick Perkins, sees someone going to the Lakers. To be honest, I think the Lakers are going to lose Rondo, says Perk. I really do. I think the Lakers are going to land someone I'll reveal in a second. I think Rondo is going to be with the Clippers, and I think y'all are going to lose playoff Rondo. That's the guy you're going to lose, but he believes the Lakers will gain Chris Paul. 10 years after they traded for him and the league undid it. Could you imagine? You know who really needs Chris Paul? Is the Freak. Milwaukee's really the team that needs Chris Paul. And, like, Bradley Beal. Chris Paul goes to the Lakers. Man, I don't want to jinx anything. Knock wood. No, Chris Paul's still really good, Raj. Chris Paul goes to the Lakers, although we've seen this movie before.
Yeah.
He almost went to the Lakers. It didn't happen. He goes to the Lakers. Good luck beating the Lakers this year. They just won the chip.
But are you concerned a little bit about, since he's such a ball handler, if he goes to the Lakers, he's going to be off ball, man.
Oh, you think Chris Paul can't play off ball? He did it with James Harden. Chris Paul shoot the lights out. It's not just take you off the dribble and set up his teammates. He can shoot, and he can take it to the rim and score. Also, it helps that they give him five steps on his way to the rim. Have you ever seen Chris Paul turn a corner on a guy? Chris Paul is allowed to pick up his dribble, tuck it like a football, and run around a corner. Five steps. On the sixth step, the rest say, come on, Chris. Chris, that's six, brother. We give you five. That's it.
That's right. Even Barry Sanders says, look at him go around that corner like a running back.
Unbelievable. I really think, like, the reason I was mad at Milwaukee, I hear what Perk is saying. He may wind up in L.A. I don't think Chris Paul stays put. But Milwaukee, I've been saying, that's the team, like, in the history of the NBA. Forget about the Freak. Why hasn't he won a championship? If you're a great big, and the Freak really is a big, you need another great player who's not a big, who's just, like, on your level of greatness, who's at least that kind of player. So not like a four-star player. You need another five-star player. Now, if Chris Paul's not a five-star player still, he's a 4-5, 4.5. And that's why I was mad at Milwaukee, Raj, when they let Brogdon walk out the door without signing him. Because when you make trades like that, you need to match up salaries in the NBA, usually, depending on the cap situation, but that's almost always. And Brogdon at least could match up salaries in a deal for Chris Paul. They'd be getting a good player back. And you could keep, if you did want to move Brogdon, and you could keep Middleton maybe. Right? Or if you wanted to make another move and try to get a Bradley Beal type and think, is Chris Paul plus Bradley Beal two 4.5 guys enough to be with the Freak? Yeah, maybe. Maybe that wins a championship. But you don't have enough now to bring in a guy like Chris Paul if you're Milwaukee without really, you know, taking out part of what makes your team good. In other words, the reason that is in the NBA, you can grandfather in contracts. So you can't pass the salary cap, right? Let's say for there's $90 million for the salary cap. I don't know what it'll be next year. So you can't spend past $90 million unless the guy's already on the team. Then you can give him a contract that's much larger than you know, like if you're at $89 million, you don't have to give your own player a $1 million contract. Give him $20 million. Now you're at $110 million. If you'll pay luxury tax and stuff. But the Bucks wanted to avoid that. Well, good luck for you. I mean, congratulations, Milwaukee. You're going to lose the Freak now. You played yourself, you know, penny wise and pound foolish. You didn't pay luxury tax. And if you ain't rich enough to pay luxury tax, you shouldn't own an NBA team. Let's be honest. Meantime, the Lakers, the Buss family, has always been willing to pay the luxury tax. And they're not billionaires like these like multi-$20 billion computer tech people. No, that's a family business the Buss family runs. And they'll never play L.A. cheap the way Milwaukee played the Freak cheap. Not just the sunshine and the market, it's the ownership. Imagine Chris Paul and the Lakers. Max Kellerman Show.